So today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from that of St. Paul to the Philippians chapter 3 and chapter 4. Brethren, be imitators of me and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is ruin, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. They mind the things of the earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion the body of our lowliness, conforming it to the body of his glory, by exerting the power by which he is also able to subject all things to himself. So then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast thus in the Lord, beloved. And I entreat Evodia, and I exhort Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And that I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. And please stand for today's gospel, taken from St. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, behold, a ruler came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now a woman who for 12 years had been suffering from hemorrhage came up behind him and touched the tassel of his cloak. And she said to herself, if I touch but his cloak, I shall be saved. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. And the woman was restored to health from that very moment. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a din, he said, begone, the girl is asleep and not dead. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this spread throughout all the district. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, this afternoon I would like to speak about the duties of children toward their parents. As you notice in today's Gospel, the man who came to our Lord saying, my daughter has died. Please come, lay your hand on her and raise her from the dead. He said, and then you'll bring her back to life. He believed. This is, I think, a very important text for all fathers, all dads, right? And all parents in general. Never give up on your children who've gone astray, right? Whether your sons or your daughters, right? You just have to believe that if you are faithful to your prayers and you let our Lord see your tears, that God, our Lord, will come. You ask him to come to help your children. He will come and he'll raise them back to life. In other words, he'll bring them back to the faith. But you have to believe and you have to pray and persevere like St. Monica. Okay? So parents, don't give up on your children. Pray for them and give them the good example. So we're going to speak then this afternoon about the duties of children toward their parents. Now, many of the older people in the chapel are going to say, well, gosh, you know, it doesn't concern me, so I can take a nap. Right? But you know, when do we cease to be children? How many of us are children? How many of us have parents or had parents? Hopefully all of us, right? Yes, we all had parents. We've all been generated by our mom and dad. So whether we are children 18 or younger or under 18 or children 18 or older, we're still children. And even if we are parents and have our own children, we still have our mom and dad. So we can't say, well, fourth commandment, obey your mom and dad. Well, once I'm an adult, I don't have to. Therefore, actually, I only have to obey nine commandments. No, we still have the fourth commandment to honor our parents, even if they're older, even if we think we are adults, and if we think we know more than them, we still have to honor our mom and dad, to respect them and to love them and honor them. Right? It's a very important point. Our Lord says, he who honors his parents, that was actually in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he who honors his parents and takes care of them in their old age and their sickness, will be promised a long life, a long and prosperous life. Now, strictly speaking, we apply that spiritually to the prosperous life of the supernatural life, of a great sanctification of the soul and protection by God over the soul of the children. But also, many times, there will be the great prosperity even in this world for those children who have taken care of their parents and have always shown respect to them. So always let us show respect to our parents. And we should mention also that the fourth commandment also concerns our duties in general towards all lawfully constituted authority. So all authority, we have to obey them, show respect, show honor, insofar as all authority comes from God. So if we show disrespect or dishonor towards our superiors, even though they might be bad, but if we have an attitude of disrespect, dishonor, of insulting attitude, that's actually a sin, because we are insulting the authority which comes from God. The authority itself is from our Lord. It's not our Lord's fault that these men or women who possess the authority are abusing it. So we have to be careful. We still must show the respect, right, toward them. So we can't use that as an excuse. My mom is mean today, so therefore I don't have to obey her today. Right? And nothing to do with it. Or my dad is just too harsh, or he doesn't understand. Well, the mom and dad represent our Lord in the home, and their authority comes from God. So the more we show the submission, the humble submission, the desire to obey, to respect, the more we honor God in our parents. And God will bless us. So, what does it mean to honor our parents? Okay, not only for the children, the younger children in the church, but all of us. We all have parents. Probably most of us, or many of us, even though we are older, our parents are still living. At least one of them, perhaps. And if they've died, well, we can certainly honor them by offering masses for them, by speaking of them respectfully, not beating them up now that they've died, you know, and they're hurting their reputation. We don't want to do that. Pray for your parents even after they've died, right? So, to honor our parents means to recognize their goodness and their excellence in some kind of external manner, you know, in an outward manner of honor, you know, by words of praise, right? I mean, we don't really have the bow of respect anymore, but you understand what I mean here. Some kind of external way of showing that we honor our parents. And why do we have to honor our parents? Well, because, first of all, our parents gave us life. Our mom and dad brought us into the world. They've had a lot of anxiety taking care of us, maybe some of us more than others, right? A lot of sleepless nights, right? And imagine, you know, we have to just reflect for a moment that we are all little babies at one time, growing up from ages, well, just born all the way to 1 year old, 2 years old, 2 years old, and we know what that means, and our mom had to take care of us, right? All day long, all during the night, and dad was awakened many times, right? So, we thank them. You know, we show that honor to them because they went through all of this in order to bring us into this world and to bring us happiness. Right? We respect and honor our parents because they are our elders. Right? They are our elders. So their age gives them wisdom and understanding. So let's hope. Right? Age will give wisdom and understanding. How many times children try to get away with something? The two boys, they conspire together to do something fun without their parents' knowledge. And they sneak out. They get home, and one in the morning they come to the door. And as they go to open the door, they look, Dad's standing right there. How do you know, Dad, that we're out? All Dad has to say is, you know, I was your age one time too. Right, what goes around comes around. So parents, they know, they have wisdom from experience. Other times they have wisdom because they understand the weakness of human nature. They've gone through life. Maybe they've seen a lot of mistakes made in the children of other families or the parents of other families. So they learn. The wisdom means to put into practice or to learn not only from your own mistakes, but from the mistakes of others. Right? So we have being a wise person. And then lastly, as I mentioned, parents we must honor because they take the place of God. Their authority comes from God. Therefore, to dishonor our parents, to show disrespect and an insulting attitude toward our parents, is to show those same attitudes towards God. You know, so, and children, remember, you know, our parents are human too. They are sinners too. We're all sinners. But they're in the position of authority and we aren't. So we show them that love and respect, right? Now, how do we show honor to our parents? Well, what do we do in practice? Well, in many places, it's the custom to stand up when they enter the room. Right? Oh, mom and dad are coming in, right? We stand up into the room, or we acknowledge their presence as they enter into the room with some words of respect or reverence, you know, and kindness. We show respect to our parents by not interrupting them when they're talking. So we cede to them the word in conversation. How many times we hear, you know, the parents will say, you know, the dad will say, quiet, be quiet. Don't you hear your mother's talking? They interrupt their mom all the time, or they interrupt their dad. Dad's trying to say something, and the boys are interrupting and talking back to him. You know, don't let the father speak. Right? So that's a sign of honor and respect to our parents. When we see them, we greet them with affection and kindness. Right? So, in many homes, especially the Mediterranean blood, the Latin blood people, they greet with a little hug, right? Sometimes there's a little kiss on the cheek. But there should be some kind of external sign of affection. You know, well, the most certain way that we know that someone loves us is by the physical touch of kindness and friendship, like an embrace. Right? So that's an external proof. So there's nothing wrong. I think it's very good in homes to have you know, parents who show that kind of affection to the children. Nothing wrong with giving the child a hug once in a while. Right? So the children will understand how to be able to show affection when he or she gets older too. Sometimes there are boys and girls in this world who don't know how to show affection because it was never shown to them. They don't understand what it means to show affection. And that's a sad thing. You know, God made us to show love and affection toward one another in all ways that are permitted and according to the life of a Christian. So why not do that? And when we speak about our parents, we should speak about them with respect, right, and with honor. Right? When you're talking to your friends about your mom and your dad, you know, my dad, well, you know, how do we speak about our dads? And how do we speak about our mom? Right? Some people, they speak poorly of their parents. They insult them, not only in their presence, but they detract from them when they talk about to their friends. Yeah, my old man, you know? My old man. The old man, right? He's only 40. Of course, when children are only 7 or 8, you know, 40 is really old. Right? And in fact, they think 18 is really old, huh? Right? But no, that's not right. Or the girl who doesn't like her mom because her mom is trying to discipline her. She tells her friends, oh, my mom, you know, she's just mean, and she's a witch. Come on. You know, God will get even for that, you know, with that. He'll punish that child for speaking disrespectfully and in an insulting manner about mom or dad. Right? Now, another way we show honor to our parents, and it's a very practical way, is by asking for their advice. Asking for their counsel. So I think parents, you see the importance here. If you want your children to obey and respect you and honor you and look to you for advice, your children must have confidence that they can receive all these good things from you. And that's why parents must be sure to love their children. You know, St. John Bosco, in speaking to the brothers who were teaching in the school, he said, yes, you want your students to obey you and respect you. But he said, if you want them to obey you and respect you, you must prove to them beyond all doubt that they are loved by you. They must be convinced that you love them. And then they'll want to, they'll find it much easier to obey you and respect you. It's important for parents to remember. Another point to remember, the words of St. John in his epistle, I believe it's his first epistle, he speaks about God has loved us first, hasn't he? God has loved us first. We weren't worthy of God's love after the fall of Adam and Eve and the whole human race. But God has loved us first. He's come to earth. He's extended his hands and feet and died on the cross for us. Okay, now what does that mean? God is the superior, the one in charge, the boss. He has left first. So who is in charge in the family? Who's the boss of the family? All the dads raise their hand, right? The dad is in charge. So the dad must love first. He must sacrifice himself like Christ on the cross for his wife and children. That way, if he shows his love toward them, then they will be able to love him in return. If it works that way, because that's how God made us, how he created us. And therefore, the father must be the one who loves first in that home, the dad. Right? The father, the husband. That's how it must be. And then secondly, yes, both parents must show the love toward their children so that the children may be able to love their parents in return. I mean, how do children first learn about God? How do they first learn about the goodness of God and the providence of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God? I mean, they can't see God. And how many times parents hear their little boys or girls say, you know, Mama, what does God look like? Of course, since the incarnation, we can point to Christ, can't we? Right? The invisible God became visible for us in God the Son. But still, we don't see the invisible God. So how are children going to know about God? The little girl. What is God like? The little boy. What does God do? What kind of personality does he have? Is he nice? Well, children learn about God by the example they see in their parents. The little boy and little girl learn about God's love and mercy and kindness and protectiveness and providence and all by the way their parents practice these same virtues. See, their parents are the reflection of God for the children. So, the more the parents are like God, the more the mom and dad are holy and reflect our Lord and our Lady, the more the children will have an inclination to want to be spiritual and to be good. But the more the parents are not good, and are not holy, and are bad or wicked, the more they disfigure this reflection of God in them, and the more they push the children away, in a sense, from the natural inclination they should have in wanting to be good. Because the parents, I mean, of course, God's grace can heal that wound, but how many times we see children coming out of families and like they're coming out, they're just mad. They don't want to please anybody. They're just in bad moods all the time. Well, that's a sign that something's not right at home, in the home. And the first person we have to look to is going to be the dad, because he's in charge of the home. Mom still has to answer secondly, but the father has to answer first. So let the fathers try to be very holy in their home. We need our men to be holy, good men. And then, of course, the women to be very holy and chaste, too. But it works in that order, we have to, normally speaking. So we honor our parents, we love them, we avoid, right? Avoid anything that will dishonor them. That's important for the boys and girls, right? Don't expose the faults of your parents, right? You know, of course, you have to parents remember, the little children can't help it. They like repeating everything they see, right? So probably in the catechism class here, in the kindergarten or first grade, or in any school, it may happen that something happened at home months, the night before. The little girl or boy comes in, hey, you should have seen what happened in our house last night. Yeah, boy, that dish went flying across the kitchen and broke the window. Yeah, mom and dad are fighting again. Oh, now the whole school knows. Boy, you know. Be careful, parents. You know, children like telling stories, especially if they're true, right? And the whole school will know about your problems at home. So be a good example to the boys and girls, but still, boys and girls, don't repeat these things to other boys and girls. Don't expose the faults of your parents. I mean, they're sinners too. They have faults. But you got to protect each other. I mean, it's important for Christians, for people in general, to protect one another by trying to conceal the faults of each other and forgive them rather than to expose them and hurt everybody. Get everybody mad at each other. Right? Remember in the Old Testament when Noah, after the flood, he didn't realize the strength of the wine. He drank too much, and it says in Scripture that he was in his tent. He was not clothed, was not covered. One of the boys thought it was so funny. He's going to make fun of his dad. So he told the other boys, hey, come and see what I see. And the other boys, when they heard what it was, he said, oh, we're not going to look at that. And so they walked into the tent backwards with a blanket and covered up their dad to show respect and honor. Well, see, that's the figure of those children who expose the faults of their parents. They expose the nakedness of their parents in front of all the people to see. That's sin. So you got to be careful. Because we have to make reparation for how we may have hurt the reputation of our parents in the eyes of other friends and other people. Now, if parents have been bad and have done the wrong thing, well, of course, it's important for them to make reparation for the mistake so that they can regain their children's respect. I mean, in that sense, they have to, merit it back, to merit that back once again, you know. So, don't be ashamed of your parents, even if they don't make a lot of money, so what? You know, they brought you into this world. After all, we're living for heaven, aren't we? We're living for heaven. God's going to restore or reshape the face of the earth. He's going to raise our bodies out of the ground, out of the dust, and give our bodies back to our souls, and we'll be reformed, spiritualized. There's a miracle going to work at the end of the world. God's going to work at the end of the world, all of us. A miracle of our bodies being spiritualized. Right? So we have to be careful not to put too much emphasis on this world, on the material things of the world. But how many times children, you know, they don't have everything that the other kid has, so they don't like their parents. They blame their parents. Dad, why didn't you get a better job? Mom, why didn't you go out and work too? We want to have all these nice things that our friends have. You know, these nice little gadgets, stuff. Right? Oh, well, no. Don't be ashamed of the parents, of your mom and dad. Love them, honor them. But parents, be sure that your children like being in your home. Make sure it's a nice little home for them. That way they won't be afraid to or embarrassed to invite their friends to come over to their house to play. Because if it's all, ransacked or something, you know, in shambles, then they'll have a hard time wanting to come over to play. So try to make it nice, your little home, so that the kids will have their friends over and have a good time. That's important. Don't treat your parents as equals, right? How many times have we heard that in these past 30 or 40 years? You know, the boy comes home, like I said earlier, hey, old man, how you doing, you know? And they call his dad, you know, how you doing, Pablo, or Mike, and how you doing? Hey, Joe, let's talk for a little bit, you know. He calls dads and moms by their first name. How you doing, Wilma, you know, that kind of thing. No, our moms and dads are our parents, you know, and when our elders, I think in the old school, I think those of us who are older, we should meet an older person, even though we might hear them say, call me Bob. We call him Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson, so because of that, it's ingrained in us to show the respect toward our elders. They might only be 10 years older, but they were married before we were out of high school and they had kids, so we call them Mr. Yeah. But the spirit behind that is good. It's the respect toward the older people. Right? Don't raise your voice against your parents. And certainly don't raise your hand as if you're going to strike them. Remember, I was told a story one time of St. Padre Pio. When there were people questioned him, there was an older man in the area or the parish who was such a holy and very meek person, very holy, but he was blinded, some accident when he was younger. And the people couldn't understand why God would have allowed that to happen to that nice old man. And the Padre Pio revealed, well, you know, he beat up his father when he was younger and God took away his eyes. Wow. So God is very demanding that we show respect toward our parents and not to raise our hand toward them. Of course not. Sometimes moms and dads are bad, but we have to be careful not to add another sin to that and be bad in return to them. That would be wrong. Right? So another point concerning the duties of the children, the next main point is to love our parents. There are a lot of points. We don't have enough time running on too far, but to love our parents. Okay, parents, remember, we love our children first, and they will understand what it means to love us in return. So let them see what it means to love in your example, especially the way mom and dad treat each other. Right? And that's important. Boys notice how dad treats his wife. Right? They notice how dad treats mom. And the girls notice how mom treats dad. It's natural. So let it be the right way so the boys and girls grow up learning what it means truly to love each other, and to love when they start dating. They'll understand what it truly means to have the love and the affection. And, you know, when the guy dates the girl must feel very safe and comfortable around him, not always on her guard, right? So, to love the parents, right, because they deserve to be loved, right? They have given us life, same reason, right? We show our love to our parents in many ways, but just for a few examples, we show gratitude. We thank them for what they've done for us. How many children never thank their parents? Go through the whole life and they never say, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. Right? No, you know, children don't realize that it hurts their parents very much when children don't love them in return. It's not right. Right? Wish good fortune for your parents. wish them good. If they have faults and make mistakes, don't wish them evil and hope that they get hurt. That could be even a mortal sin. Try to do what is necessary to please your parents. What will make my dad happy? Right? What will make mom happy? Right? And then do those things. It seems like the kids think the other way around. What will make dad mad? And they want to do those things just to irritate him. And the girls for the parents, for the moms. And no, we have to avoid those weaknesses. That's just the devil trying to push us inside toward evil. That's the old devil trying to bring malice into our hearts. Don't let him do that. Right? And here's another very important point, and that concerns taking care of our parents in their need or in their old age. Take care of your parents when they need you. Right? Sometimes they may not be that old either. I mean, the same thing may happen to a wife. She may have to take care of her husband who becomes incapacitated. But take care of your parents in their old age. If there are a lot of brothers and sisters, try to share the burden. Sometimes it can be hard taking care of older people. But on that point, remember, especially in the case of men like to be independent. They want to be able to know they can be self-sufficient. And it's very hard for them when they're humiliated and they become sick and ill and they cannot take care of themselves. So if they're grouchy and they're a little bit mean to you, they don't really mean it. It's just that they're ashamed of themselves. They're a little bit embarrassed. But they have to get over it. It's true. They have to accept the humiliation. God's allowing that for them. They've got to get over that and be very thankful that others want to help take care of them. That's very important. But have understanding when you take care of older people. Right? But little by little, as you take care of them, as they get older, they should become less and less grouchy and more calm and an enjoyment to be around. That's hopefully all of our older people will be like that, so that everyone around them are happy to be there, to be in their presence. Right? So and the last point is just to obey our parents. That's one of the main signs of our love. What did our Lord say at the Last Supper? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's clear. So we love our mom and dad. We love our superiors, even though sometimes they might make bad mistakes and might not be very holy. So we still obey their commands because the authority comes from God. So therefore we honor God by doing the right thing. So lastly, let us turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. Our Lord is the model of obedience of children toward their parents. Follow the example of the Christ child toward Our Lady and Saint Joseph. Right? And parents, you want to gain that love and respect and honor from your children? Well, imitate Our Lady and St. Joseph. By having a holy family, by imitating the holy family, you will have a holy family in your own home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.